Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Money. I said it. It was once told to me, in fact, it was told to me after I became a pastor by another pastor, that in the church, sometimes it is easier for members to reveal their most intimate secrets than for them to reveal anything about their financial situation. Money is one of those things that we really just don't like to talk about in the church. But Jesus does, which means today we get to hear about it. Jesus tells us a parable about money and heaven, or really, it's the word mammon. He tells the parable of the shrewd manager. But what is mammon? Mammon is money. But not just money, it's also material wealth and earthly treasures, especially when it's related with greed. And sadly, as the poor, miserable sinners we are, we have a habit of valuing and loving mammon. But I don't blame you. It makes sense. Mammon is right before our eyes. We know the value of mammon. It's measurable, it's reliable, it's useful to us, and honestly, it gets the job done. If you have enough mammon, you can have anything you want in this world. And since it's always front and center in front of our eyes, it's really easy to have value for it. Heaven, on the other hand, well, most of the time we're convincing ourselves that heaven is something that is far, far away. I'm 31 years old. I'm not going to die for at least another 50 years or so, right? It doesn't seem to me that heaven is right in front of my eyes. But it is. So, what happens? But many people ignore heaven and they trust in money instead. But we all know the problem with that situation, because mammon, money, earthly treasures, this wealth, we all know that it doesn't go with us. When we die, our money fails. And this is why Jesus tells the parable of the shrewd manager. But before we dig in, before we really get into the parable, there's something that we need to point out, okay? Jesus is going to commend the manager. Right? Through the parable, this manager gets commended, but it's not because he's greedy, and it's not because he's dishonest, because he is both of those things. Right? He's not commended for those. Those things are wicked. Those things are evil, and far be it from Jesus to ever commend those. Right? But he is commended for his shrewdness, his cleverness, the way that he could critically think about his position in life to work it for his advantage. So the parable. In the parable, there is a manager, and it comes to the master's attention that this particular manager is wasting his possessions. And so what happens? Well, the manager, or the master, of course, can't have that. I'm going to go ahead and remove the book from this guy. He can't manage my stuff anymore. And so when the manager kind of catches wind of this whole situation going, he goes, well, what am I going to do now? I mean, I'm too proud to beg. I'm not going to do that. Man, I got a bad back, right? I'm not strong enough. I can't dig. I can't do manual labor. So what in the world am I going to do here? And he goes, I got an idea. I still have all of the authority as the manager of the master's books. So right up until the moment that that book gets taken away from me, I'm going to use this position for my benefit. All right, hurry on. Come on, bud. What do you owe, 100? All right, here, write 50. The master's cool with it. Don't worry, man. It'll be all right, okay? All right, you're good. Okay, who is the next guy? All right, take a 20% reduction on what you owe. No worries. The master's going to be cool with it. Just go ahead, man. And so on and so forth. And then what happens? But when this guy's books get taken away from him, when he has no way left to support himself, what's he going to do? Hey, remember that time when I told you to sit down and you could take a 50% discount? That was really nice, wasn't it? You might have supper at your house tonight. He's shrewd. He is clever. Not because he's just a nice guy. Not because he's trying to be selfless. He is shrewd and he is clever because he is a selfish man. who wastes his master's possessions. Well, what's the master supposed to do, right? When he finally gets the book and he starts reading through it and he goes, well, this is my book. Apparently I wrote this guy a 50% discount. Well, I can't go back on it now. It was an official transaction. And so what the master recognizes here is that his manager was actually very smart. His manager was actually very clever and intelligent. Dishonest, yes. Greedy, yes. But clever. But the hardest part of the parable is at the very end. Jesus says, "The sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." Jesus tells us that we should learn from the unbelieving world, that we can learn from those who live in service to their wealth. Why? Because they're clever. Because they know how to use their money to get what they want. And as Christians, honestly, we're not all that good at it. What do we like to use our money for? Often it's the same thing the world does. We want to waste our money on ourselves. We want to do something for me. But Jesus tells us that we should invest somewhere else. The moral of the story is that Jesus wants us to make friends for ourselves, but not in a way where they're going to give me a favor. He wants us to make eternal friends for ourselves, to use our money and our possessions and our treasures and certainly our talents and our time and our energy. He wants us to use them for the benefit of other people. That way there will be more people in the heavenly kingdom. That way there will be more people who are transferred from this earth into heaven. And so he wants us to scheme. Let's scheme a scheme. While the Lord has offered us all of this authority over the treasures of the world, while the Lord has offered us in whatever place in life we are, while he's offered us authority over the possessions we have and over the knowledge that we have and over our time and our energy, let's use it to write some steep discounts for those around us. That way they too might enter into the eternal realm. Make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. God gives freely, both in possession and in faith. Shouldn't we give freely? Both in our material possessions and also in the faith that God has given us. Shouldn't we share what he has delivered? Give the gospel. Give your money. Because after all, money has very little value. You can't take it with you. That's what it means for money to fail. When you die, your money stays here. And someone else will get to use it. Wouldn't you rather invest in something that lasts for eternity? Sounds pretty good to me. But I'll be the first to tell you, my friends, that I waste. I am so bad. It's so much easier to serve myself than to serve other people. I would need more than several pairs of hands to be able to count the dollars that have been spent on me and myself and I and my own failures. And if you're like me, then we need to understand this parable in light of Jesus. Because what does Jesus do? We know that the mission of the church is important. And yet, even in our waste, what does Jesus do for us? He comes in human form, just like one of us. And in all shrewdness, what he does is he says, "Sit down, friend, and tell me what you owe. Are you 10% sinful? 50% sinful?" God knows we're all 100% sinful. Right? zero. You owe nothing because you are forgiven. Because Jesus has shed his blood for you, because he has died for you, and your bill has been paid in full. And while it costs you nothing, it costs Jesus everything. He pays the price with his blood. He pays the price with his death. He pays by spending his innocence and his suffering, and he takes away your sin by it, so that you could have a place in an eternal dwelling. So that you could have the assurance and the promise and the hope that this life and this wealth and all the things we see here, this isn't it. He's bought something far more valuable for you that will last into all eternity. And honestly, it was smart. It was clever. It was the only way that Jesus could ensure to have you. He had to pay the bill. He had to deliver forgiveness and life and salvation to you. And so he let nothing get in the way. And honestly, in the process, as we hear and believe these words, it means he frees us. He frees us from worshiping money and things and mammon. And instead, he brings you into a life of an eternal reality. That though the earth and all its wealth might pass away, you will never pass away. Because you have a friend in high places. You have a friend with great authority over the master's books, and his name is Jesus. You won't have to beg, and you won't have to work, because it's all been done by Christ your Savior. You know, we hear in the scriptures that the wages of sin is death. Jesus pays the wage for you. He does it on a cross. He does it through an empty tomb, and he guarantees your eternal life. But we got to go back to where we started. What becomes of our money? My friends, it's not worthless. But now we can see it as it's truly meant to be. It's not a false god that we're supposed to worship. It's a tool that God has entrusted to us to use. Knowing that we have been purchased and paid in full by Christ, now we are enabled to set aside a portion of what he's given us of the treasures of this world to give back to him. And why might we do that? We pray it every week in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Because when we give it a portion of that wealth into the church, it goes and it touches people. People, certainly, that maybe we know, right? I'll give to the church because I want my kids to have a church to grow up in when they get older. And my grandkids, or my great-grandkids. I want you guys to be able to come here and have lights on. And really, the air conditioning is nice for me in the robe. But the thing is, we support the church because it allows people to come here and gather around God's word and his gifts. People we know and see, but also people we don't know. Because when you get to heaven, there's going to be people there you've never met before. People maybe who lived in Africa. You know, some of the money we put in this plate goes to the Central Illinois District, and then it goes out to the Synod. And the Synod does worldwide mission work with the money that you give here in the church. You guys read this? Every member of our church got one of these in their box. It's about Casey. Have you guys ever met Casey, by the way? Probably not. But Casey is a student in Macomb, Illinois. And he wasn't a Christian until he went to college. But the truth is that money that we have put into our plate here has gone to the Central Illinois District, and they have funded the missions of the Central Illinois District. You guys had a part in bringing Casey to eternal life. Your investment in God's kingdom is an investment in eternity. We will be together forever because we can make friends. Make friends by unrighteous wealth, unrighteous mammon. So, as you are my friends, who I expect to see in the eternal kingdom. What we have freely received from Jesus as far as our earthly abundance, what we have received from Jesus as far as our eternal reward, let us freely give to those around us in service to God's kingdom, because it's an investment that will never fail. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.